I'm Marco Werman. This is The World. There were clashes on the streets of Tehran today. These were some of the first major confrontations between opposition and government supporters since July. They came as the country marked Quds Day, or Jerusalem Day. It's an annual observance decreed by the government to show support for Palestinians and condemn Israel. But the tension still simmering in Iran after a disputed presidential election spilled out into the open again, overshadowing the official agenda. The World's Laura Lynch reports.
The government organized the marches it wanted to see, filling the streets with tens of thousands of people chanting slogans against Israel and America.
It is true that I, as one person, cannot do much for the Palestinian people. But I have come here to be a drop in the ocean of people and prove my solidarity with Palestinians.
But today showed that in Tehran, at least, there was precious little solidarity among Iranians. Blocks away from the official rallies, opposition supporters poured into the streets, determined to show they had not disappeared in the wake of the government's crackdown this summer. They wore the green color of the opposition, carried green banners, and shouted death to the dictator. One protester, who we'll call Akbar, says it didn't take long for the clashes to start.
There were skirmishes. They burnt down a police outpost on their way. But again, the militias and the plainclothesmen were out in force and it was very, very difficult to maneuver.
Away from the street battles, President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad carried on as if all was normal. He spoke before Friday prayers at Tehran University, repeating his familiar claim that the Holocaust is a myth.
4-5 years after the Second World War,
4 or 5 years after the Second World War, all of a sudden they claimed that during the war, the Holocaust had occurred. They claimed that a few million Jews had been burnt in the ovens. They institutionalized two slogans. First, they used lies and sophisticated propaganda and psychological ploys to create the illusion that the Jews were innocent. And secondly, they created the illusion that the Jews needed an independent state and government.
After months of internal turmoil following his disputed re-election, Ahmadinejad is set to re-emerge onto the international stage. Next week, he'll travel to New York for the annual general meeting of the United Nations. So Masumi Torfi of the University of London believes today's speech was meant to deliver a message of defiance beyond Iran's borders.
And it was, in a way, saying no to the United States as well, and Obama, who's been trying so hard to find some way of engaging with Iran, as they put it themselves. He actually went further than I had heard him before in Holocaust denial.
Ahmadinejad's attack on Israel, his aggressive tone, are nothing new. But now his strong words, along with his authority, have been weakened by Iran's internal divisions and his own struggle to hold onto power and influence. Even now, senior clerics still question the outcome of the election, along with the jailing and punishment of protesters. And on the streets, Akbar says there could be more violence in the days to come.
I think there's more opposition and there's going to be more violence on the horizon unless there is a comprehensive settlement. I think the situation on the ground is intolerable, what we're seeing at the moment. The ban on civil liberties, the massive imprisonment of political activists, youngsters and journalists, obviously. This is all adding up to the discontent inside the country.
The discontent and continuing protests carry big risks for Ahmadinejad as he tries to consolidate his hold on the president's office. He has staked much of his domestic support on his promises to redistribute Iran's wealth. But the government has been distracted by dissent, forced to spend money and time squelching protests, suppressing the flow of information, and mounting a series of show trials. With the potential of more trouble to come, Ahmadinejad may want to continue to shake his fist at the world when he comes to New York next week. Some world leaders, though, may have a rude reply of their own, reminding him that there are many thousands inside his own country clenching their fists in defiance of him and his government. For The World, I'm Laura Lynch.